Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Well, as Peyton Manning always said, we have to check the pancakes in this segment. We've got to call the audible. Chris Miles, NBA TV, is ready for us now, and he's going to join us here on the Brian Mitchell Show. And if you're on the phone lines, I'll get back to you when I'm through with Chris. Chris, what's happening, brother? How you doing, man?
Good, man. Just trying to keep up with these games getting postponed and trying to keep everything in order as the information comes out and see when the bearded one is going to get traded here. So.
Well, we want to get into all of that, and I think ultimately – you know, we watched when the bubble came out. I thought the NBA did a hell of a job with the bubble, and I think they set the tone for everybody else as far as getting ahead of things and putting things out there. But now that they're not in the bubble, they don't seem to be handling this thing as well as some of the other leagues did. You know, do you think that this can hinder the whole season? Say it like that. Not saying hinder the absolute whole season, but stop it from being a whole season.
Well, what's really interesting is this. I think that narrative that you just said is something that everyone believes right now. But if you really pay attention, it's almost like we forgot the beginning of the NFL season or the beginning of Major League Baseball season. And the fact that Major League Baseball, they only played 60 games. I mean, they cut their season to just a third. So I think if we looked at the NBA season, it was like, oh, yeah, if they tried to play 30 games, you know, I mean, that would be the equivalent of it, or 25 games. Like, you'd be like, that sounds absurd as far as, you know, what you're doing and how you're getting through it. Now, the difference between the NFL and the NBA is the fact that you have to have more travel in the NBA. Okay, mm-hmm. The NFL, you're dealing with one game per week, and you still had postponements. You know, I think it was maybe week 10 or 11 in which it seemed like, man, this is getting out of hand because we have all of these postponements. So I think the NBA is going through that right now. I think they're adjusting. But also, the way that they have the schedule set up, I mean, there was a reason only the first half of the schedule was released and that there was time for these postponements to happen. So, you know, the league anticipated something like this. I just don't think they anticipated it would happen so early and so often.
I think in every league you expect your top-notch players to set the example for people. And I think when you look at the fact of Kyrie Irving missing his fourth straight game, and then they have this thing, they're researching this video of him being at a family function without his mask on, as if he doesn't care. Now, George Hill, and I talked to you about this earlier, but this is the comment he made, which I totally understand. I can play 48 minutes against somebody, checking them, bumping into them, sweating all on them, but I can't talk to them for 15 seconds after a game. What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, look, George, so here's the thing. I'm with you on that, and I think it's they're trying to limit the post-game, like, okay, if they do that, then what's next? Then are they going out to dinner together? And if they're, you know, after the game hanging out, why can't they go out to dinner together? And then you start to have a slippery slope. So I think that's the NBA saying, like, look, we get it. You got to play this game, but you don't have to be interacting with each other as much as you are once you're done playing the game. I think that's where they're trying to end it. They're not putting that narrative out there in that way, but that seems like the goal that the higher-ups have in mind with that. Now, as far as George Hill is concerned, what you said is better than what he said.
No, that's what he said. His exact words. So I went back and I read the story. He's saying we can sweat 48 minutes with a guy next to us for the whole time, but we can't talk to them afterwards. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
What I had with George Hill is, you know, he's basically saying it like, I don't really want to play if this is what it's going to be like.
No, I think you've been in this business, Chris. You know what that was. He made the comment, and whoever wrote that damn headline put that up there. you know how that goes.
That's the part of it that's like, look, I think all of these players, and I try to put in perspective for people to understand how much NBA players make. No one wants to lose a penny of that.
Yeah.
You know, they've worked so hard to get to this point. I try to remind people that Michael Jordan, at the peak of his powers in 91, 92, was making, I think it was like $1 million a year. And by 98, he was making $30 million a year.
Yeah.
So we understand that these guys worked hard to get this money, and they don't want to do anything to give it back. And that's really where it's the health and safety protocols are the league is trying to make it so that we don't have to take a step back financially, that players don't have to give back money, and that we don't lose games and TV rights and that sort of thing. It's complicated.
It's complicated because the way I look at it, the people making the biggest sacrifice are the players. Okay, everybody telling them what to do. They sit back and guess, just like I had a guy calling just now saying how he's in the military and his powers or superiors was telling him about what he need to wear his mask, this, that, and the other, while he's looking at six of them right next to each other without a mask on. And the NBA and a lot of those people work the same way where you can't do this, you can't do that, because you got to make sure you go out there and play, because that's how we make our money. But we're going to do whatever we want to do. You see what I'm saying? That's where I get troubled at, because I think it can happen. Anybody can transfer, because when you come around, I don't know who the hell you've been around. You come around into the locker room and you leave the whole damn COVID trace out there.
Well, let's put it like this, B. Mitch, right? When I look at it from, I don't make, you know, $20 million to do what I do, but I make enough that it's, you know, enough to change my life in that way, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, okay, I make enough money that I, working remotely, I can do that from anywhere. But I understand that if I contract COVID, I can't be on TV. You know, I can't go to the radio station and host shows. So right now, I am shutting it down, even though I have the means to do other things. Does that make sense? So what I'm saying is, I get the perspective of, well, other people are doing what. No, there's with great rewards come great responsibility. And for the players, I think a lot of them do understand that. But it's the guys that I think the complicated part is this. There are guys rolling around with antibodies that tested positive, you know, before, and are like, look, I can't get sick. Why do I need to stay in the house?
Well, yesterday it came out that players are getting their testing positive now for the second time.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, you're getting this whole like circle motion of, these are guys, and you've been around. Well, you're a professional athlete, B. Mitch. I mean, when you think about when you were playing, how everybody would just tell you, yes, you can do whatever you want. Well, this is an instance in which all these guys that are so used to being told, yeah, you can do whatever you want as long as you perform. Like, hey, even if you're performing, you can't do this. Like, this is the one thing we can't have you doing, especially not being caught on camera.
See, I don't mind making sacrifices. I just need to make sure that the people that are telling me I need to sacrifice, that they're sacrificing too. And then I think I'm cool with anything. Because as I look at all the sports, the players are overly scrutinized at this point. I don't think the owners and coaches are, because we're finding a lot of coaches pop up on these things too. So what's happening with them? Are they listening to the things they're telling players to do? And that's in multiple sports. You know, last week we saw the Browns go out there and have a hell of a game, and their coach was at home because he couldn't be there. The offensive line coach wasn't there either. And I think when we look at these other things, like a lot of times the rules are set for the players, not for everybody else. And that's where I'm coming from. And I think a lot of times a lot of these players try to put that out there. They just don't do it in the right way.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And again, I think it's the sympathy feeling, right? Like there's a reason that the Make-A-Wish thing is such a big deal, because you see someone where you think something is, you know, not great in your life, and then you see them, and you're like, man, I guess they're dealing with a lot more than I am, so I should shut up. I think with professional athletes, sometimes people, especially in right now, in dealing with unemployment and all the other health issues people are having, they're like, man, you guys are getting paid all this money and you're doing this. I can't do that. You know, so I think that's why there's a lack of sympathy and empathy from the general public, whether I agree or disagree with that.
Yeah, that's why I never made the money that they make, and I'm not going to care because guess what? I'm not in that position to make that money. And I think people got to stop judging people based off of their paycheck and just judge it based off of being a human being. How would you feel in the same situation? No matter what the amount of money you make, you don't want somebody telling you to do something that they're not following themselves. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, I understand. That's exactly
the only,
what you're saying.
The only way I'm going with that. But we got the Washington Wizards here, okay? Can't seem to win games consistently. Had a very good game the other night. Now they're postponed. And this is where I come from when I start blaming the NBA. The Wizards played two teams in a row that had COVID situations. So I would think, obviously, we would expect somebody for something to happen with them. Then Bradley Beal had to miss because of those concerns. And then two people are put into the COVID protocol, the health and whatever protocol. Now they have to cancel their game that was supposed to be going on tonight, I think it is. So does the league ever think about what they do? Because those two games that they played with those situations probably shouldn't have been played even then.
Well, B. Mitch, I'll say this. And I'm coming from this from a first-person perspective, right? I don't know if you've seen it. I can send it to you later. But I interviewed Adam Silver right before the start of the season, okay? And I posed some of these exact questions to you, and you can see it in the clip. He kind of looks a little bit annoyed with me, like, why are you asking me the same question again? And here's what I got from our interaction. The bubble was one thing. That's something they feel like they perfected. It worked perfectly. Everyone loved it, but the players were tired of it, and they knew they couldn't do it again. This is an entirely new situation, unprecedented, that they're going to learn from. So I think that while they haven't said it, you better believe that they view that as a mistake that they made with the Wizards, and tonight they're starting to correct it. And I think going forward, you're going to see that, you know, be a better, well-oiled machine as far as what happens, what games are postponed. Because I tell you right now, they'd rather have a game postponed than have an overall outbreak in which now the Wizards have played five teams, and that's who's on their chain.
I think
that, you know, and people ask valid questions the last 2 days.
And that's why I believe that some of the players think the way that they do. You said this team that didn't have any issues out to play these two teams that had issues. Now this team has the issues. And you could have stopped that by saying, okay, well, we can't play this game because they have these things going on. But no, you sent them out there for 48 minutes to bump against somebody for 48 minutes. And then at the end, they now have the situations that they didn't have prior to it. You see what I'm saying? I can understand where George Hill come from. Although I understand exactly what you're saying, but when some people of a more intellectual level can throw stuff out there that seems to annoy the powers that be, it tells me I'm asking them something that's right. They don't get pissed off when you tell them something wrong.
Now, I will say this, and this is something that we have to put into the equation. The league has supported George Hill on several of his stances. George Hill is a very intelligent player, highly intelligent. And you remember, he was a key person in the players walking off the court, when they decided to boycott a few months ago during the playoffs. So the fact that the league supported George Hill on that they've supported other things that he said, that he's had a long standing. This isn't, I'm just going to say it. This isn't the NFL with Kaepernick or Eric Reed, where it's like, oh, this guy said something, and now he's, 27 years old, and he can't get another contract. George Hill has been very vocal. He has said things during his career, and he has maintained his career that clearly, like you said, the league didn't get along.
No, I give them credit for that. And I think the NFL is a bunch – NFL in that situation is a bunch of S, okay? But I'm just saying I understand why he makes the sentiments that he's made. Because the Wizards didn't have these issues. Now they have these issues. And that could have been alleviated based off of the decision made by the powers that be. Because, like you said, they only released the first half of the season, which means that they were preparing themselves for if they have to have certain games. Well, maybe you should have postponed that game ahead of time, and then probably these things that are happening now would not be happening. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
That's all I'm saying. I think that's where George Hill was coming from, but I think the way that it was worded, the headline was worded, took completely away from what he said. After I read the whole thing, I'm like, oh, Lord, now this is not what he said. That's why I hate people that write. I hate those that don't interview me that write the headline of the story that somebody else did.
And that's the way the business is, which I think has always been backwards.
It's crap.
Where the actual reporter be like, what is that headline? Why did you
yes.
get on my story? Yeah, it's annoying.
Exactly, man. So I'll ask you some quick Wizards questions before we let you out of here. Are we going to start playing defense with the Wizards? And what do you think needs to happen for this team to start having some consistent success?
So I'm torn on that, and here's why. I look back at this season, you see their 3-8 record, and be like, oh, they have the worst record in the league. They're so bad. And I'm like, no. If you watch the games, they're around a 500 team in this sense. Their Philadelphia games, both of them, they were right in there against a team with the top-tier defense and all-world center in Joel Embiid. But in the fourth quarter, Embiid just turned it up. And so those are two of their losses. The other one was against Nikola Vucevic and, unfortunately, Markelle Fultz, who tore his ACL. But those guys did the exact same thing. So when I look at three of their losses, you flip that around, I would put them one game over 500 if they had interior defense. Well, Robin Lopez brings that a lot more than Thomas Bryant could and did. And I did see that in the Phoenix game. That was an improvement, but it's like one game that I can't say that they've improved there. The Suns shooting 4 for 27 from three-point range seem more like the Suns missing open looks. Mm-hmm. So I look at that as that's going to happen every once in a while around the league. I think Davis Bertans finding his stroke was also a positive sign. So, look, are they as bad as a 3-8 team? I don't think so. But it remains to be seen if they can defend the interior and turn into a team that can turn this season around.
All right, it's Chris Miles joining us from NBA TV. Also, the Step to the Mic podcast. Chris does a great job there. Him, Andre Jones. And what's my big man name again?
TJ, man.
Big Ted, yeah. Yeah, so those guys do a great job. So make sure you check out the Step to the Mic podcast. And it get me on every once in a while. They like to wake me up early as hell in the morning, though, but it's all good.
Greg said that was your idea, man. He told
Because I couldn't do it with the time he wanted me to do it. I say I was like, I could do it after I'm done. He said, no, we got to do it before.
See? Easy. Getting themselves up in there.
All right, man. Well, thank you, man. Appreciate you giving us some time.
All right, B. Mitch. You have a good one.
All right, Chris Miles, NBA TV, joining us here on the Brian Mitchell Show. Hey, it's something everybody has to deal with. You know, we had the caller just a moment ago talking about with his business and things of that nature. But those who do the right things, put in the right protocols early, they could get past it. We'll be back.
Download the Radio.com app and favorite the Team 980 to listen anytime, anywhere. The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Selling your home? Why settle for one offer when our friend John Leahy at RE/MAX Fine Living guarantees three offers on your home? Find John online at johnsalesdmv.com. All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. And we're going to continue on with your phone calls. We had Bones and also Jupe been holding on, so let's get right to him. Bones, what's up, man? How you doing? Bones, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, B-Mitch, my main man? How you doing, B-Mitch?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
Ain't a whole lot, man.
I had you holding so long, you dozed off on me, huh?
Yeah. I hate to get up 2 in the morning, man, go to work, man. I was knocked off. Check it out, yeah, hey, but check it out, man. I know. Hey, B-Mitch.
Yo.
I heard thoughts. They talking about, you know, go out and get some pieces, right, for the team, right? But I think the team is solid right now. You know, you just get a couple of guys, you know, you ain't got to spend a whole lot of money, man, you know. Just add some more depth, man, you know, because, you know, the way they was rotating them defensive linemen and them linebackers and them defensive backs last year, man. I mean, this past football season was a good idea, man. And, you know, like, you got to trust them youngins, man. Cam Curl and them, man, you know, and Reeves and them. They did a good job back there, man, you know, closing out the season, man, you know. And wasn't a whole lot of passes going over top, just that, you know, Tom Brady, man, the GOAT, man. You know, the GOAT, who he is, right?
There you go.
But, man, they need to just solidify what we got right now, man, you know, because now, you know, they got the experience. And let's go with that, man, you know. All we need, get a quarterback. Get a quarterback, you know, and had three of them in there, man. Let three of them, all three of them compete, man, you know. But that's it, B-Bitch, man. Thanks for taking my call, man.
All right,
B-Bitch, man, I was knocked out, man.
I appreciate all you, man.
Hey,
I'll tell you this, and one thing based off what he just said, I can't wait for training camp next year, and I'm hoping that we are to a point where we can actually go to training camp, because I believe a lot of things were messed up early because of the lack of not being able to go to training camp, off-season program, and people actually competing for jobs. So knowing Ron Rivera as I knew him and watching the season how it unfolded, I look forward to seeing the competition. Let's go to Gaithersburg, check out Jupe. What's up, Jupe? How you doing?
B-Mitch, what's good, big homie? How
I'm
you
good,
feeling?
Man. Chilling.
I'm good. Hey, look, before I get to my thing, I'm going to have to break my victory ritual because them boys on Saturday, I ain't going to lie to you, I had my 12-pack of Heineken for Taylor Heineken because I wasn't know how it was going to go. I drunk like six of them when kickoff got. Then I started to chill out because my man was balling out.
Well, you should have kept drinking. He probably would have balled even more. We'd have won the game. You should have finished the whole 12-pack.
Man, I mean, I ended up doing AA regardless, but hey. Look, if they wasn't swore some of them drop passes,
yeah,
defense is a little bit more, maybe we talking about how we going to handle the Saints, but it is what it is. And like I said, I'm going to break the victory ritual because I got to give them a pat on the back. So here we go. Ric Flair. Woo!
That's your baby. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
All right, Drew.
All right, talk to you.
Appreciate you, man. All right, let's go over to Upper Marlboro. You have a friend, Darius, you got a friend that they always tell you they have a job, but you think they don't have a job. So, nickname is Tommy. So, this is my boy Tommy right here. Chuck, what's up, Chuck Tommy?
So, we done gone from snail on the trail to Tommy now.
I mean, you don't ride no more. You stay away from rides, so I can't call you snail on the trail. You avoid the trail, so your nickname is Tommy. You say you got a job. Never working, but you got a job.
I told you this morning that I'm going back to riding, and I'm sorry I'm late in calling because I just got off work there, sir. So
sound like Tommy. I just got off work, dog.
Hey, look, man. You know, few things here. All right. I like what I see with the team, man, and you know, moving forward, I truly do. Definitely got some young pieces, some horses on there. Couple of questions for you, big bro. What do you do with Landon Collins? As far as your quarterback position, do you, you know, I definitely think you bring back Kyle Allen. Do you explore the trade for Deshaun Watson? Do you maybe explore a trade for Matthew Stafford?
Deshaun Watson is 40-plus million dollars.
Okay, well, never mind then. So
and the salary cap is dropping this year.
How you feel about Matt Stafford, maybe?
I don't know. I'm going to go along with my man Joe Theismann on that one. He's not 100% sure on that, so I'm going to go with Joe on that.
Okay, and the last question is receiving. I mean, do you feel that they need to definitely get someone
yes,
a solid two?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, to help Terry out because he's getting coverage rolled on him, man. It's you know, teams are definitely looking for him off the top. So just a few questions, man. I definitely think that Coach Ron has him in the right direction. Hopefully Danny there can stay out finally and let the football people be football people. So, you know, hey. That's what I'm looking forward to, man. And I'll talk to you later, man. I'm tired from work.
All right. That job that you don't have. You go over and talk to Cole. You Big Shirley and Cole. Y'all have fun. Bye. Let's go to Cliff in D.C. What's up, Cliff?
Hey, good afternoon, B-Bitch. I got a team wins this year, but hopefully this coming off season, Nothing is anointed to nobody. Ron Rivera, if you're listening, all quarterbacks competition. Do not give anybody the starting job. That's what may have hung Dwayne Haskins from the get-go. I could be wrong. And second, get a kicker in there to compete with Dustin Hopkins, because Hopkins is off and on. And I'll sit back and listen.
All right, man. Appreciate you. And I think nobody's going to be handed anything. I believe that. And yes, you know, I think people don't pay attention to kicking. I was a special teams player, and I understand that, yeah, we don't need a lot of respect, but you better realize how big of an impact special teams can be. The chunks of yardages, and every time you go out there kicking a field goal, trying to block a field goal, if you can block a field goal and you can make your field goals, that changes ball games. So for those who don't give any respect to him, to that aspect of it, you have to start giving to it, and you can really, really figure some things out. We talked to Chris Miles. Let's go to what's trending around the sports world again.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
Talked to Chris Miles a little bit earlier, so if you want to pay attention to that. We talked about James Harden, also a lot of things going on with the NBA and COVID. Games are being postponed of that nature. So if you want to check that interview out, go to the radio.com rewind feature, find the Team 980, and you can go back to that interview right around 2:15, I think it was, and check it out. Also, we have tomorrow, Joe Beninati is going to join us as the Caps start off this season playing against the Buffalo Sabres. Joe will join us at 12:15. And this weekend, as the week goes on, we got Thursday and Friday. We're going to set you up. The Rams playing the Green Bay Packers at 4:35. The Baltimore Ravens will be playing the Buffalo Bills, which I think will probably be the best game of the whole weekend, 8:15 on Saturday night. Then the Cleveland Browns and the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Cleveland Browns are getting two of their defensive backs back, Denzel Ward and Kevin Johnson, and they're going to need them going against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then we get to see the GOATs. And I say GOATs with an S. Tom Brady and Drew Brees face each other at 6:40 on Sunday night down in the Superdome in New Orleans. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, team980.com, and the radio.com app. We'll be back.
The only way to stream the Team 980 on your phone or smart speaker is with the radio.com app. Presented by Regency Furniture. This weekend, shop the 72-hour Red Tag Savings event at Regency Furniture with Red Tag Savings up to 72% off store-wide. Free delivery and no-interest financing.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the radio.com app.
Hi, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. And the Daily Sports Line is brought to you by the DC Lottery's new sports book, Gambit DC. Download today at gambitdc.com. That's GAMBETDC.com. And access spreads, money line, over under, and live in game betting all at your fingertips. It's sports, only better. A lot of stuff happening down in Houston with Deshaun Watson, where Andre Johnson, the only person in the Ring of Fame for the Houston Texans, basically said, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I will stick to my guns. And I would say this. There may be people that disagree, but Deshaun Watson was promised stuff by the owner. Don't promise me something and then go against it, because at that point, I have to question you. You know? No, I don't make all the decisions. But if you told me you're going to do something, then live up to it. And I know a lot of us don't understand that, because our businesses are different than others. We always look at the quarterback in a different way than we look at any other player. So if the quarterback seems to have that level of control, then we have to keep moving forward with it. Every quarterback seems that when they get to a certain level, they have more say than any other player. That's how it goes. When you do something opposite of what you told me you were going to do, I have the right to question you, point blank. Sit this on our last call. We'll be getting to Chris Russell here soon. I want to find out why they call Chris the Rooster. I'm going to get to the bottom of that. I like the little song, but I'm going to find out exactly why are you called the Rooster? Because I guess he's the male chicken of his household. I don't know. Let's go to Steve in Houston. What's up, Steve? How you doing?
Speaking of Houston, right?
Yeah, speaking of Houston. What's up, that was just on point, yeah, man. I see you hadn't talked to you in a while. No, you was like, you mad at me or something?
Yeah, you know what? When I come back home, you know, I'm a pull up. Pull up with love, though. You know, when you say pull up, these youngers, they get ready. So I'm going to pull up.
Well, because I'd already gotten ready. I started clip-clapping and everything
else. You stay ready. You stay ready. You stay ready, man. That's why you my dude, man. Now, man, Happy New Year. Yeah, it's been a minute. We haven't talked, man. Let me ask you this, B-Mitch. If you were to, so 19th pick, you know, more than likely we're not going to do quarterback. You know, a wide receiver, tight end, linebacker, cornerback. What would your pick be?
I'm going offensive lineman or linebacker before anything. Now, if that kid from Alabama drops down anywhere close to where I'm at, I need to get him.
You talking about the QB, Mac Jones?
No, I'm talking about that receiver.
Oh my Lord. Devontae Smith. Yeah.
I'm talking about that. From A-Meet, Louisiana. Yeah, that guy.
He, Mr. Slender Man. He bought a buck 10 wet.
He needs about 10 more pounds, and that's all. But I'm telling you, keep everything else he had, because he's a bad man, dude.
He is. And, you know, when you look at him, his speed is very deceptive. He don't look like he's moving fast, but he get it done.
Oh, yeah.
His versatility is a beast. But, you know, I'm funny, you know, linebacker. So, because I'm looking at our cornerbacks, you would prefer to get an upgrade at linebacker over corners, mm-hmm. over our current corner situation? Because I'm thinking they might need to put Kendall Fuller back at the slot. And if, you know, if a cornerback is there, number one, you know, it could be pretty enticing.
I think Kendall Fuller and Ronald Darby played far better than what people think they played. And I think what happens sometimes is when we have the games where our D linemen are getting at the quarterback, they mm-hmm. had spectacular games, even in the secondary. But when our D linemen right. aren't getting at the quarterback and the quarterback has, like, he's in a 7-on-7 and he has all day to throw the ball, no cornerback holds somebody that long. So it all
That's
works
true.
Hand in hand. If the pass rush is a certain way, then you'll find out that the secondary play is going to be at a certain level as well.
Yes, sir.
But
Just
then,
talking to you, B-Mitch.
What I need most, though, Steve, I need them to be better in the running game. Because when they're better in the running game, they seem to dictate to other teams. But when teams run the football effectively on us, they seem to do whatever they want, like they want, whenever they feel like doing it. And I don't like that.
You know what? It's funny you say that, B-Mitch, because when I talk to some people, they think we a finished product at running back. I'm like, no. I mean, Gibson did okay in terms of development, but the way this train is moving, if we get somebody in there that we can draft, you know, in the later rounds, that's talented, we got to plug them in. We can't sit forever and wait on Gibson's development.
Yeah, I think he was hurt. He was hurt. He wasn't. He was nowhere close to 100% in that game against Tampa. Nobody had said it. My eyes tell me, and then the stuff I saw in the back end, watching that stuff in the TV studio, showed me that he was being worked on. He wasn't ready. He wasn't right.
Yes, sir.
Yep. All right, man. Appreciate you, Steve.
Talk to you, B-Bet. Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
All right, well, it's my time to go back to my days in high school and college and play quarterback as I get ready to hand this thing off to my buddy Chris Russell. And, Chris, I need to know, why do they call you the Rooster?
It's a long story, B. Mitch.
I got time. You can start the day. We'll finish it up as the week goes on.
All right. So I think you know my real last name, I think. I'm not sure about that, but it's not Russell, right? All right. So let's start with that. 20 years ago, roughly, I was working in Vegas at this national radio network that is now defunct. And people, I was so loud overnight, B-Mitch, doing my show. Imagine me being loud and obnoxious, right? And people said, well, you sound like a freaking rooster because you keep people up at night and you wake everybody up because you're so loud and annoying. So like a rooster. So that kind of stuck. And then I had it with an email, and then people over at the other station here discovered that, and all of a sudden it just broke out and people started calling me, and it's just kind of taken off as this crazy weird ass moniker.
I think when you're a little song, you need to get you a rooster in the background doing this little thing.
Well, you know, I mean, we got the intro song from Alice in Chains, right? I'm trying to get Solly to just obliterate my show with all sorts of sound bites and sound drops, right? So you're right. I should have, like, every time I say something dumb, he should, exactly, he should just fire that. And I say a lot of things that are dumb, B-Mitch, so, you know, I mean, I'm sure you'll be hearing that a lot.
Oh, man. It's not dumb things. It's just stuff that you feel. You know, if you believe in it, it's never dumb.
That's true.
That's how you go. So what do you have planned for us today, man?
We've got a jam-packed show in terms of, you know, guests and all that stuff. We're going to talk to Dennis Dodd, who we weren't able to get on yesterday from the national championship game. So we'll talk about Bama and Ohio State, Urban Meyer potentially going to Jacksonville here. And who else, you were just talking about Devontae Smith, if he could, you know, listen, if the Washington football team gets Devontae Smith at number 19, you start celebrating, right?
Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk about Mac Jones. Could he possibly come here and mm-hmm. some of the Ohio State products, right? Because the quarterback might fall into their laps at 19, or they might be able to move up. So we'll talk to him. We'll talk to Tim Barbalace from Baltimore on the Ravens. We'll talk to who else are we talking? A buddy of mine, Cody Stutes in Houston, on both James Harden and the mess that is the Texans, and as well Paul Hamilton from Buffalo. He covers the Bills and the Sabres, and that's where the Caps are the next two nights to open up the year. And of course, Baltimore goes to Buffalo. So we got all of that and a bunch more coming up today.
You mentioned him. I want to see something real quick.
Yeah,
Urban Meyer.
Yeah,
is he worth $15 million a year?
No. Hell no.
All right, cool.
Hell no, right?
See, we're agree on the same thing there.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we're on the same
Chris.
Page.
That's cool, man. Appreciate you.
Have a good day.
Chris Russell Show is coming up. Chris will be on there from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock, isn't it? 3 to 7? That's it, yeah. Chris gets 4 hours. He continues doing his thing. So we want to thank everybody for joining the show today. Also want to thank Mike Jones from USA Today for joining us, and also the Football Jones podcast. Also want to thank my man, Chris Miles, NBA TV, giving his take on the NBA and things that are going on. But tomorrow, make sure you tune in to the Brian Mitchell Show, 12:15. Caps kick off tomorrow, and Joe Beninati will join us. I'm telling you, we will have the best-dressed guest of any station in town tomorrow with Joe Beninati. This is the Brian Mitchell Show. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you again tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Thanks. Peace.
Listen to the Team 980 on your smart speaker. Just say, play the Team 980.